Alrighty, we are in Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8, normally we take 3 weeks per chapter. We're not doing that this time. 2 weeks and we're done. This is part two tonight of chapter 8. The visions keep on coming. The visions keep on coming. We're looking at an apocalyptic ram, goat, and little horn in Daniel chapter 8, verses 1 through 27. The theme in this chapter, even in the face of impending trials, God's people receive comfort from the truth that our God is sovereign over all the nations and the leaders who rule them. That's what we see in Daniel chapter 8. Last week, we looked at our first point. God gave Daniel a vision, verses 1 through 14. And tonight we'll be looking at point number 2, the final point. God sent Gabriel with an interpretation. God sent Gabriel with an interpretation. This will be in verses 15 to the end of the chapter, verse number 27. And we'll take the verses as they fall in the outline tonight. So let us ask God's help and direction as we begin. Father, we thank you tonight that you are in control of all things, nations, people, leaders, good things, bad things. You're very well aware of all things. And we are so thankful for that. And we know that you have all power, all might, unlimited power and strength. And we are thankful for that as well. May we trust in that truth as we live this life here on the earth. We ask for your blessing as we continue to travel with Daniel through the book that you inspired him to write. And we ask that you help us tonight as we look at some of these characters and the things that were going to be happening in the future that you revealed to Daniel for the express purpose that the people of God would be comforted in knowing that they will get through the trials and the tribulations of the future. So we ask for your help right now, and I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me for the message. I trust and depend in you to bring the message tonight. I can't trust in myself. That'd be not good. And so my trust and dependence is in you and in you alone. So guide us and direct us now, we pray. In the matchless, powerful name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Amen. Point number 2 this evening, God sent Gabriel with an interpretation. Now, Daniel already knows that a little horn of great depravity is going to arise and he's going to make himself great, so to speak, even claiming divine status. This guy's really full of himself. He thinks that he's a god. And of course, we had a lot of folks down through the ages that thought that as well. And so he claims divine status. We saw that in verse number 11 last time. He's going to defeat the saints. We saw that in verse number 10. He will defile the temple. He will defile the holy place, verses 11 and 13. And he will disregard the scriptures, verse number 12. He will do this for a period of between 6 and 7 years, or 3 to 4 years, depending on who's doing the interpretation. So we have two schools of thought on the period of time, either 6 to 7 years or 3 to 4. In my book, that doesn't wind me up, doesn't matter to me. It was going to happen, and it did happen. This is a lot to sort through, but there are some pieces missing. And Daniel's like, I want to know what's going to happen. I want to know more of what this vision is that you gave me, O God. And so the Lord in grace is going to help Daniel to grab a hold of some more of this vision that he was given. So that brings us to our first subpoint tonight, letter A. Understanding God's word requires divine assistance. Understanding God's word requires divine assistance. We find this in chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. And it came to pass, when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning Then, behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, the river, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, Understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. So Daniel is watching this vision. We've likened it to a sci-fi movie. And he's trying to understand it, we see in verse number 15. And then suddenly there stands Gabriel, an angel of God. And his name means strong man of God, or possibly God is my hero, or God is my warrior. God has sent Gabriel to explain the vision to Daniel. Only in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament do we have angels named. It's the only book where that happens. And so we hear the name Gabriel in chapter 8, verse 16 that we just read. We'll see it again in chapter 9, verse 21. And then another angel, and I like this guy, his name's Michael. And he's going to come into play in chapter 10, in verses 13 and 21. Both of these angels will reappear in the New Testament, Gabriel in Luke chapter 1, and Michael in Jude verse 9, and Revelation 12 and verse 7. So without divine help, Daniel would not be able to comprehend what he saw. He needed help. He wanted to know, what is this all about? What does this vision mean? And so God gave him some help. Now, whenever we read about angels meeting up with people, the same thing always happens. Terrification. That's not a word, but maybe it will be tomorrow if they hear that out there. They sort of like add things, you know. They're terrified is what happens. They're scared to death when they see, they're scared out of their minds. This is always what happens. This is the response when people see an angel. So Daniel says he falls down, he fell down on his face in front of Gabriel. I don't know what it is about their presence that scares them to death, but that's what happened, and he falls down, and Gabriel addresses Daniel as a son of man, or son of Adam, meaning one who is mortal, a mere human. It's like Gabriel's putting him in his place a little bit here. I don't know if that's what it is or not, but that's what it means. He calls him son of man or son of Adam. You're just a mere human being. And so Gabriel says, I have come to help you understand the vision. Subpoint B, understanding God's word prepares us for what is coming. Understanding God's word prepares us for what is coming. We find this in verses 18 through 26. So we have a good portion to read here. And I'll fill in some of the words and meanings as we go along. Starting in Daniel chapter 8, beginning in verse number 18. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, Behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Greece. Or the shaggy, he could also call that a shaggy goat, is the king of Greece. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it. Four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding, dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, in an astonishing manner. And he shall prosper and practice. He will do exactly as he wills, and shall destroy the mighty men, and the holy people, that's Israel. And through his policy or his shrewdness, also he shall cause craft or deceit to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace, meaning a false sense of security, shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, capital P. But he shall be broken without hand, meaning he will be broken by the literal hand of God. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. This is going to happen in the distant future. So understanding God's word prepares us for what is coming ahead. Daniel goes into like a comatose state, or he falls into a very, very deep sleep. Gabriel gets his attention, gets him up, gets him to his feet, and he says, look, I'm here to help you to understand what is going on, to tell you what's going to happen at the conclusion of the time of wrath, verse number 18. The time when the persecution and God's discipline of his people under Antiochus IV Epiphanes comes to an end. This is the appointed time of the end. The time has been determined by the sovereign God of history who makes all things happen. God's people are going to suffer for their sins. Now that shouldn't have been new news for any Israelite. They've been living a cycle of that since they started. But their suffering will not be indefinite. It is going to come to a close. It will end. God is in absolute control of all that is and all that will happen. This includes the trials and tribulations of his people. God has it all under his control. Human powers are merely instruments in the hands of an all-powerful and omnipotent providential God. In verses 20 through 22, gives us an understanding of the main characters of the vision that Daniel was given in verses 1 through 15. The two-horned ram refers to Media and Persia. That was very clear. The shaggy, the rough goat refers to Greece. The large horn between the eyes of the goat refers to the first king of the Greek power, Alexander the Great. He's going to be short-lived. He's going to die early. And four kings will rise up from that to replace the broken horn, Alexander the Great. So there's going to be four kingdoms belonging to Alexander's four generals. We know their names now. I might slaughter them. I don't know. Cassander, Lysimachus, Seleucus, and Ptolemy. They were the four who continued with the Greek dynasty there. Gabriel says that they will arise from that nation of Greece. Greece and Alexander, but they're not going to have the power that the empires had before and on the statue that you saw before. They are going to be mini empires. They are not going to be major players like Persia and Greece. In verses 23 to 26, it then turns to Antiochus IV Epiphanes. He is a very ruthless king, a very wild individual. He is skilled in intrigue. He is a king of bold face, that means. He was arrogant. He was full of pride. He will arise near the end of the four Greek kingdoms, 175 to 163 B.C. The Roman Empire by that time is on its way. Rome is going to come to power. And this will happen when God's rebellious people have reached their height of sin. That's when Antiochus is going to be coming in. God will once more discipline His people Israel for their sin. In verse 24 and 25, we see the activities of this ruthless king Antiochus. And he comes to the throne. This happens in verse number 23. The list of this king's atrocities, his activities, is kind of interesting. His power is going to be great, but is not going to be his own power. He will not rule on his own. Why? He is a satanically empowered puppet. Verse number 24. He will be amazingly destructive and successful. He will win battles. He will become very powerful, successful, and wealthy. Verse 24. He will destroy the powerful, and he's going to take it out on the nation of Israel. He was going to try and wipe them out. Verse 24. He will persecute God's people for 7 years. He will cause deceit to prosper through his scheming and his influence. Verse 25. Antiochus Epiphanes will be shrewd, deceptive, and he will stop at nothing to further his wicked program and his agenda. He will lie and he will cheat in his dealings. Does that sound familiar at all? He will exalt himself, it says in verse number 25. He will make himself a god. Anybody who does that, I kind of think there's something missing upstairs. How they can possibly think that they as a human being are a god. Of course, many in the Roman Empire did the same thing. He will destroy people even in times of peace. There's a false sense of security, and even during that time, he's going to go around and wipe people out. Verse number 25. He's the kind of a ruler that just kind of kills people for the fun of it. That was Antiochus. He stands against the Prince of Princes, capital P in verse number 25. He stands against God himself because he thinks that he is a god. He thinks that he is Zeus in the flesh. And he's not. Yet he will be broken. And he will not be broken by human hands either. Verse 25. God is going to do it. His reign will not last all that long. He will be taken out by the very hand of the God that he mocks, and mocking his children Israel and trying to destroy them and wipe them off the face of the earth. It's interesting that there have been many who have attempted to do that throughout history. So Gabriel affirms that this vision is true in spite of all the freak show vividness that you see in the vision. Verse number 26. Daniel needs to write this down and he needs to preserve it. So today we sit here, we look at Daniel 8, and we are looking back at what is happening. Daniel, where he stands, he's looking forward. All of this is yet to happen. For us today, all the things that Gabriel and that God gave him in the vision have happened. It has happened. It is in history. The prophecy given to Daniel was spot on, perfect, 100% correct. And the historical accounts that we have confirm that. Antiochus Epiphanes was violently bitter against the Jews. These guys come up, and for some reason, people come on the scene, and they hate the Jews. And he tries to exterminate them. He tries to wipe out their religion. He destroyed Jerusalem in 168 B.C. He murdered tens of thousands of Jews. He defiled the temple, and as people like to do, the Israelites like stay away from pigs. He was offering pigs on the altar. He said there will be no temple worship. You will not practice circumcision, and if you do, it's the death penalty. So he really came down like a hammer. He sold 40,000 Jews into slavery. He rounded up scriptures and destroyed them. And when I think about that, it's not like grabbing people's Bibles that we have and burning them. We're talking about the big scrolls, handwritten. And he was running around, gathering those up, and he was destroying them. He used every kind of torture that he could think of to try and force the Jewish people to recant their faith. He was a pretty wicked, very wicked individual. Judas Maccabees, meaning the hammer, led the Jews to victory and the restoration of their faith. Today, the Jews celebrate Hanukkah. This year, it is December 10 through 18, the Festival of Lights, in remembrance of this occasion of victory. It's referenced in John 10:22 and following, when the literal light of the world walked into the temple. Well, whatever happened to Antiochus Epiphanes? How did he go out? Do you think that he went out in his sleep? Do you think that he just, you know, one day just died? No, this is pretty good. Now, I say that fleshly speaking. Okay, so the Jewish book of 2 Maccabees records his death. Interesting how this guy went out. You know, our God has a way of dealing with his enemies. And he really dealt. He struck Antiochus down with an incurable smackdown. He was hit with pain in his bowels for which there was no relief. He had sharp internal pain in his bowels. And what do you know? He had tortured numerous people in their bowels. So God said, well, you want to do that? We'll see how you like it. And so that's what's happened to him. So he would torture people in their bowels as well with all kinds of inflictions. And so now God has stricken him. And you would say, well, maybe that'll help him to back off and stop doing that. No, he just got worse and he got enraged. And he just kept on going with this. And so he was even more arrogant and going into rage after the Jewish people. And then one day, sick in his stomach, he is flying down the road in his chariot on the way to inflict more Jews. He falls out of his chariot, and the fall was so hard that it tortured every limb in his body, and he died. So that's how he went out. So in our flesh, it's like, yeah, right? So the Lord took him out, and his reign of torture came to an end. And God always, it's not going to be indefinite. It is going to stop. Letter C, subpoint C, our final subpoint this evening. Understanding God's Word can be personally overpowering. Understanding God's Word can be personally overpowering. That brings us to our final verse in chapter 8, number 27. Daniel says, "And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished, I was astounded at the vision. But none understood it." So understanding God's Word can be personally overpowering. What Daniel saw in this sci-fi movie vision totally wiped him out physically. Now, I have been personally moved by Scripture. I have been personally moved by the preaching of God's Word. And I think everyone in here has been like that. You've really been impacted by the preaching of the Word. But nothing like this. I mean, he was sick for days on end after he saw the vision and heard from the angel Gabriel. He's totally wiped out and he lays down sick for days. And so he knew that his people Israel would get through the suffering, but the thoughts of all the suffering to come overwhelmed him. God pulled Daniel through. He regained his strength and he went back to work for the king, which is what he was always doing in his life. A great man, great worker, great mind. And so he goes back to work for the king. Couple applications here for us. In view of what the future holds, we must still live godly and holy lives right now. Now, we as a nation, we may be on the brink of some really not good things. We don't know. We're praying against that. But in spite of what the future might hold for us, we need to still live godly and holy lives. Daniel's life teaches us that we must do the king's business. We need to walk in obedience. We need to live in holiness. We need to keep ourselves pure. We need to do that in spite of what happens. We need to walk in the will of God, and we need to do it, and we need to keep on doing it no matter what. As we always do, we come down to the end of each chapter. We look at one final question. How does this text point to Christ? 8 chapters so far, and we've done that every time. How does this text point to Christ? Who is this Prince of Princes of the heavenly army in chapter 8, verse 11? Who is the Prince of Princes in chapter 8, verse 25? Who is this Son of Man that we will see in chapter 9? Who is this Anointed One who's going to be cut off in chapter 9, verse 26? Well, we all know the answer. This is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is who this is. We see Him here in this text. We know who it is. In His earthly ministry, He enters the temple and He restores it twice. He goes in there and He chases all of those people out that were defiling His Father's house. Jesus' substitutionary death and resurrection put an end to the morning and evening sacrifices once for all. No more going into the house of the Lord. No more going into the temple and seeing that eternal fire burning and sacrificing animals. That is done. Jesus finished that once and for all. And the final word is not going to be had by the ram. And the final word is not going to be had by the goat. The final word is going to be had by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight for Jesus, our awesome Savior. We thank you tonight as we've looked at Daniel once again and he's looking into the future. We're looking back at what he saw. We know it all happened. And we know that Jesus is King. And as believers here tonight, we look at prophecy. We look at the fact that you predicted things and it happened. It happened just like you said it was going to happen. We can be confident in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And oh, how we ask you, Heavenly Father, that you might make this truth known to the unbelievers that dwell on the earth. We know that literally billions of people are without Christ today. We pray for their souls. We ask that you would give us confidence in our witness. We ask you to give us confidence in our walk with you, that we might demonstrate the love of Christ, that people would see Christ coming and beaming from our eyes behind these masks in these days. We ask that in spite of that, they will see the Lord Jesus in us. And Father, would you please enable and empower all of us to be able to talk to somebody this week that has never heard the good news of salvation. Go before us, lead us, guide us, direct us. We ask that you would help us and enable us to serve you well in these days. We love you, Lord. We love each other. And we ask you to give us a really prosperous and super week of service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.